Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
It is In the Loop. And look, we want to talk about the players with the most to prove at Texans Training Camp. How are they looking, at least so far? But before we do that, we were talking about the fight. That's been the big thing. The last 24 hours, the big thing from Texans training camp has been the scrum. It started with a late-ish, probably unnecessary hit from Jimmy Ward on Stephon Diggs. There was some exception taken to it. The team kind of got together in a little bit of a scrum, pushing and shoving, holding on to each other's shoulder pads. The stuff that you typically see in a football, not really fight, but scrum. Once that disperses, though, Derek Stingley has not quite had enough and finds him some Dalton Schultz, blindsides him, by the way, knocks him to the ground.
You got to find me some Dalton Schultz.
And a little bit more of a fight ensues, or a little bit more of a scrum ensues. We haven't heard from Figgy on this. Figgy wasn't in with us at that point. 24 hours later, now that we've had time to digest it, Figgy, what was your reaction to the fight, man?
I love it, man. I think I love it for the simple fact that it was coming from Stingley. Now, if it was somebody else, I'd probably be like, hey, get your ass back to the huddle, man. Come on. But just to see that fire in Stingley, because I seen the scrum. I was sitting right there. I just wasn't on the air with y'all, but I was right there. I seen the scrum. I'm thinking like, oh, ain't no big deal. And then I just seen a guy come out of nowhere, just shove Dalton Schultz. And I'm like, whoa, that's Stingley? So it was kind of like a shot. It's kind of like waking up the quiet dude and see him actually put hands on somebody. It's like, whoa, that was Stingley.
Yeah.
Like, Stingley need this type of year. He need an all-pro year this year. Mm-hmm. And if he going to bring that nastiness to other teams, I don't want to see it on teammates no more, but if he can bring this nastiness to the season, he's an all-pro for sure. I need to see that. I needed to see that from Stingley. Maybe not. I don't want to see a punch to the head or nothing like that. I don't want nobody to get hurt. But I need to see some nastiness from Stingley, man.
See, y'all, the part of it that surprised me, and I'm curious if y'all view it the same way. I thought of Stingley more so as a no back down type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, from Baton Rouge, LSU guy, you know, I'd never questioned his toughness or even his willingness to get involved in a scrap.
Yeah.
The extra part that surprised me that I would not have guessed was that he would be, dare I say, instigator.
Yeah.
Right? Because once the fight seems to be over and you go out of your way to bring it back, to run it back, as we say, that is, that spills over into not just stay ready, but instigate.
Let me ask you about this since we're here. Let's say it was a throwdown. Let's say everybody backed off, and it was a throwdown. Stingley and Schultz. Every instinct that I have tells me Stingley, because you don't ever mess with the quiet dudes. The dudes that don't say anything, that are just all about, you know, as they say, that business, those are some bad dudes. he's a dude that has, I mean, you know, obviously LSU, you know, he's probably been in a few scrapes. Every instinct I say, he's put together pretty damn well, says Stingley. But the more I think about it, I'm like, man, did you see that look on Dalton Schultz's face?
Well, I think Dalton Schultz definitely has the...
He's got it in him.
He's clearly got the size.
He's got it in him.
And I'm pretty sure
that's
got
a big MF.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 250,
he's
whatever.
He's got the size and strength advantage. But I've said this about people from New Orleans, and I understand that Derek Stingley's from Baton Rouge, but I'm going to go ahead and extend it to Baton Rouge in this case as well. Not everybody from there is a gangster or anything like that. None of them are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've yet to meet anybody from New Orleans or Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Again, not necessarily like gonna be the one to instigate, but none of them I've met are afraid or are people that you want to
mess with,
to scrap with. No, no.
Yeah, like I said, I love it, man. I think this is the perfect year for Stingley to go out like that. You know, I hope he don't instigate no fights and nothing like that, but stand your ground, man. Show everybody he's number one.
Like, we're just playing a game here. I'm with you. My head tells me, oh, Stingley. Dude, he's a big dude, and he was coming at him afterward.
Oh, yeah. And when it was over with, was still shouting, talking his ish, you will. Yeah, no, I'm not
downplaying
it. I'm not ruling out Dalton Schultz at all.
And the funny thing is, like, even seeing Dalton Schultz go back at him, to me, it got me super excited. Like, man, this team is nasty now.
Yeah.
Because a couple years ago, I don't think this would have happened. This year, you got a lot of nasty dudes on this team, man. And, like, the days of the Texans being the whipping boy and just laying down for anybody, those days are over.
Yeah.
So I think this is a new identity on this team.
Well, and this was my main takeaway from it in terms of, like, just who was in the right. Like, I thought Dalton Schultz was on the right side of history.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he just said, hey, man, back off, or whatever he said.
To go up and say, look, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to take.
Which is what D'Amico wants.
Yeah. We're not going to take senseless shots at our teammates. Certainly not Stephon Diggs, right? Like, we're just not going to do that. So, Jimmy, I know you laid me out last year. I know me and you got history going back to our Cowboys versus 49ers days, but today, it ain't going to be.
Yeah.
And so I thought he was in the right to step up and say something. Now, what was said exactly and how it, you know, transpired after that, I don't know what triggered Stingley to go and take the blindsided cheap shot. But I didn't mind the energy of it outside of the fact that he blindsided my guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily love that. But, hey, man, look, it's training camp. You know, that one of my predictions was that we were going to see a fight. I didn't pick the right characters, but I was fully anticipating that we would see something like this happen. So, interesting times out there.
How did y'all feel about CJ trying to get in the scuffle and trying to...
Well, he wasn't necessarily trying. He was in it by default.
Yeah.
He kind of jogged up there because it was down the field, but I think he was jogging up to kind of spike the ball or whatever.
It is leadership.
The first thing I thought about, I'm like, this is a Cali dude. I'm like, what are you trying to,
we know
he's trying to kick some feet or whatever that term is, squabble. Like, that's the first thing I said. I'm like, what are you trying to squabble?
I did have eyes on Will Anderson and CJ Stroud as like the clear leaders and future of the squad.
Yeah.
I did have clear eyes on both of them, and you could tell that they were trying to be the peacemakers in all of it and, you know, trying to break it up. You prefer, like, if anybody's going to go in there and be a physical enforcer, you don't want this guy to get hurt either. But you prefer out of the two, it obviously be Will Anderson.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, you step in there. But I like that. You know, I want to see that type of I would say this. I like that even more than the fight itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that they were showing leadership and, you know, at least, like, trying to be involved. Like, CJ Stroud, for example, knew not to be in the scrum, but also knew, hey, Dalton Schultz might be crazy.
Yeah.
So let me get over here to Dalton Schultz and talk him down a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I appreciated all of that. The players with the most to prove at Texans training camp, how are they looking? I've got a list of four names. There could be more that y'all are interested in, but I know these four specifically. Let's break them down for a second.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green. Lopez, this is your Aggie mate, your fellow Aggie, and Atascocetan, if you will, at the time.
Yeah.
You know, when he was there, you were living there.
Shout out to the Eagles.
Kenyon Green. Are we feeling better about Kenyon Green than we did going into training camp now that we've seen six practices with a day off here today?
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so the reality is exactly what I said before training camp even began. We're not going to know, not even once the season begins, we're not going to know about this offensive line until 4 or 5 games into the regular season. We got to see it consistently when the stakes are high and things matter, and he backs up one game with another game, because he's had the occasional moments, and then he either gets hurt or gets knocked on his butt. So the reality is that, but given that all we have to judge Kenyon Green on right now is 6 practices, I think he's been pretty good. And that's not necessarily a glowing endorsement, but I'm also not torching him. Like, I think he's been pretty good. It hasn't been like, oh my gosh, one way or the other.
So my semi-simmering take on Kenyon Green is if he can just be Shaq Mason in the sense that we never talk about him.
Yeah.
We never discuss him.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because if a guard is doing his job, okay, if he's just doing his job, unless we want to really football nerd out about a pancake block here, whatever the case may be, like, those will come up.
Yeah.
But if a guard is just doing his job and not being a liability or not being hurt all the damn time or whatever the case is with Kenyon Green,
yeah,
those things aren't happening, we shouldn't really have to talk about him much. And I think it is a good sign that Kenyon Green, outside of the predetermined talking point that he is,
mm-hmm,
has not been much of a talking point.
No,
because he hasn't been getting beat. He hasn't been a noticeable issue.
Yeah.
And at times, I know John Harris was mentioning this in some of his notes, and he takes like some of the best notes that you'll find out at camp,
mm-hmm,
like noticing that the interior of this line between Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs, like, we're talking about a tandem here of a question mark on the interior. Juice Scruggs is just somebody that, had to fill in a position that's not the one he plays, whereas Kenyon Green wasn't playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them are kind of like, for all intents and purposes, new, right?
Yeah.
Like, under this system, playing center with Juice Scruggs, and then Kenyon Green obviously not playing at all last year. So, like, there have been moments where they've looked good as a tandem, and then I would say overall, they just have not been a liability, and that in and of itself, I think Lopez is a victory.
You don't want to see him highlighted on Sunday Night Football. Look at how good he got this block and went to the second level and then ran down the field and blocked for Joe Mixon down there. No, you don't want him to be like the superstar. You don't expect that, but just be serviceable and reliable.
I appreciated what Nick Caserio had to say about Kenyon Green when he was on with Payne and Pendergast the other day. This was really good stuff. I thought it was candid and honest from the Texans general manager. Listen to this after Sean and Seth asked him about what he's seen from Kenyon Green so far at training camp?
Yeah, I think you just have to have honest, candid conversations, and sometimes the conversations are difficult. I mean, the reality is, okay, you're injured, like, you can't control that, but you can't control how you respond to it, and quite frankly, you need to be better. Like, you need to be better with everything. So sometimes you just have to challenge and press players, and then you got to see how they respond, because ultimately how people respond when they're put in adverse situations is a true test of who they are as a human being. So I would say there was a period there was probably really difficult. You know, okay, 2 years, there's been a lot of peaks and valleys, ups and downs. Now I'm not playing football this year. Mm-hmm. All right, what are the things that I actually can control? Well, once I'm healthy enough to start training, attack the training. All right, then when the off-season program starts, make sure you're prepared for the start of the off-season program, and let's have a great off-season. So I think, and he's done a great job, and he was a young kid when we drafted him. I would say similar, but, you know, different, but Brevin Jordan's another example too. We haven't talked much about Brev, but when we drafted Brev, Brev was one of the youngest players in the draft, and he went through some ups and downs his rookie year and his second year. It's just sometimes it takes a little bit longer for guys to understand the demands of their job, what goes into it, and the reality is you're going to probably have more struggles than you are success and how you handle that and how you respond to it. But KG's had a great attitude. He understands he's going to have to earn his opportunity with his performance. Everything is earned here. It doesn't matter who you are, where you were drafted. Quite frankly, we don't really care. Ultimately, you're going to be judged on how you perform on the field, and everybody's held to that same standard.
I appreciated that, Lopez.
That's about as good as you can get from the
general
manager.
Think about it. He says the part that we already understand, you can't control injuries. Mm-hmm. But what you can control, and then what does he follow that up with? You've got to be better.
Yeah.
So that's Nick Caserio not using Kenyon Green's injuries as an excuse for his failures up to this point. That's him saying, yeah, he's been injured, but up until this point, up until this training camp of the year that we gave him off, you know, to get his body and his mind right, he had not necessarily responded to the parts that he can't control. He hadn't responded to those properly or in kind, in like in the right way.
Yeah.
And like to me, that's an admission of that. And also, I think to Kenyon Green's credit on his part, I think he had to look himself in the mirror and actually do that to, quite frankly, save his career.
First of all, that's about as candid and insightful as you can get from any general manager, much less Nick Caserio. And secondly, like, we're seeing it, and he's been good. He hadn't been great. He hadn't been bad. He's been good. But the one thing he noted there, and you have to realize this, Kenyon Green is 23 years old. He's 23 right now.
Man.
In his third year.
Okay. Preaching to the choir.
Right?
I've tried to, and I don't know how much this has necessarily like resonated whenever I've made the point, but I've tried to make this point. Kenyon Green, I thought this was a good job by Caserio comparing him to Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
And the just the age thing. Like, they came into the league really, really young.
They were babies.
With Brevin Jordan, you could tell in his interviews, like, Brevin Jordan is a fun hang and interview, like, to talk to, but there is a childlikeness to him whenever you talk to him that is, like, it's charming because you're like, oh, man, I remember when I was that young and when I talked like that. Yeah. It's like talking to a kid, especially his rookie year. With Kenyon Green, who was a little bit more soft-spoken, it was more so, oh, he's doughy.
Yeah.
He's just a big old, like a big, strong kid, but like hasn't grown into his body, probably isn't as mature as you would like for him to be considering the investment that's in him.
Well, you could tell because of the way he was looking and acting and everything else.
It just, it was not, you could argue that he was not ready. Mm-hmm. You know, he was not ready physically. He was not ready probably mentally and professionally, and that it just took a little bit of growing up.
Yeah,
and maybe you don't want to hear that with the first round pick or the guy that you use the first round pick on.
We get it.
It's reality.
You better grow up, you know, or he will get cut. You will get cut. But nevertheless, that's separate from the dude was just, like you said, he's always been the big kid that could just dominate middle school, high school, college. Well, that ain't the case here, man.
Yeah.
And so he needed to learn that.
100%. Let's pick this up after the break. The Texans Redemption Tour, the players with the most approved at training camp. How are they looking? We got a few more for you. That's next on In the Loop.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.